Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
I think Rand Paul has two questions to answer here tonight. Why did he freely join a group known for mocking or making fun of people of faith? And secondly, when is it ever a good idea to tie up a woman and ask her to kneel before a false idol, your God that you call Aqua Buddha? Those are two fundamental questions I hope we get answered here tonight.
Jack, you know how do we tell when you're lying? It's when your lips are moving, okay? You're accusing me of crimes. Do you know nothing about the process? You're going to stand over there and accuse me of a crime from 30 years ago?
That's Kentucky Senate candidate Jack Conway and Rand Paul debating about his involvement in an anti-Christian secret society while a student at Baylor University. Well, who wants to be held accountable for the things that they did when they were in college? College days are just that, college days, but these things do tend to come back and haunt you. It raises a bigger question, and that is the role of religion, religious persuasion, one's devotion to or devotion against any given religion in American politics and how it's covered. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's program talking to Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about this very debate and this very set of accusations made against Rand Paul. Then we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible, talking to Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University Chicago about two apparent contradictions. Well, it's actually two versions of the same story. Who actually moved King David to number Israel? Was it God or was it Satan? It's Thursday afternoon, October the 28th. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org, author of the book Pop Goes Religion, and he writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, welcome back.
Good to talk to you again.
In your opinion, I understand you're a Baylor man, what is the lesson to be learned from both the accusation and the lack of a real denial that there was some involvement in a secret society at Baylor University on Rand Paul's part?
You know, when somebody sent me the first reference to this, I have not laughed louder in a long time, but it eventually turned into kind of a laugh to keep from crying sort of situation. The ultimate lesson from all this is that satire and religion don't mix very well, especially being handled by undergraduate college students. Let's just leave it at that, okay? But the Nose Brotherhood is a long-standing organization at Baylor University, whether they've been thrown off campus or whether they're back on campus or whatever the heck their status is at the moment. It's, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 very bright students. High GPA was always rumored to be the reason I didn't get in, for example. My GPA wasn't high enough. But, you know, Baylor people know that the Nose is a bunch of jokers that pull pranks, and they occasionally achieve brilliance and far more often achieve college-age stupidity. You know what I'm saying? They don't hit the bar all the time, and a lot of their stuff is pretty trivial. And a lot of it, yes, of course, would come off as anti-religious if you didn't know who the Nose is and know that they're joking. And they're joking, an analogy they would understand, they're joking in pretty much the same way that Stephen Colbert is joking. In other words, he whatever they say, you pretty much make it the reverse. And you also understand that the nose primarily exists to satirize the world's largest Baptist educational institution. And when you do that, you have to satirize Baptists. And to do that, you have to poke some fun at conventional religion, or in some years, the nose pokes a lot of fun at conventional religion. But they also make fun of people in politics. They make fun of, most of all, they make fun of all the sacred cows that are grazing on the lawns of the Baylor campus. And trust me, there are a lot.
So this is, it's social commentary, obviously, sometimes more often than not carried out at the sophomoric level. And it is an attempt at humor.
Yeah, I mean, it's symbolic things, and they most of the time try not to get in trouble. The point of any great college prank is to make as big a stink as possible while doing nothing that is actually wrong. I can tell you about a nose prank from my era. The night before Baylor was to destroy Harrington Hall, which was the old journalism building, and a lot of Nose Brothers are journalists. The night before they were going to demolish Harrington Hall, the Nose somehow managed to paint the entire building, like a 3 or 4 story building. They painted the entire building pink. Now that's that's large scale fun, right? They did this knowing it was all going to be torn down the following day. And second, they probably thought through this enough to realize that the outside bricks of Harrington Hall now became a tremendous fundraising device for Baylor University. Because if you got one of the bricks that had a pink side, you knew you had one of the real things, right? So the nose has kind of a love-hate relationship with Baylor. But as Nose Brothers have often said, we wouldn't be at Baylor if we didn't want to be at Baylor. And they're also making social commentary about the stuffiness of a lot of Christianity. So when this thing shows up in the Kentucky Senate race as this secret society of people who hate the Bible, Baylor grads are just going to crack up laughing, and Baylor grads who are journalists are immediately going to start reading the stories and say, wait a minute, isn't anybody going to place at least one phone call, do some kind of research on the nose, and interview a nose brother and find out that this whole thing is a joke? Instead, we are now days before the election, and this thing is still dead serious, and except in a few blogs where people have done a little bit of homework. And, of course, I've written about it several times at Get Religion and shipped a column this week for Scripps Howard about the Nose Brotherhood and what it's all about.
Okay, it raises a question for me. Rand Paul knows what the Nose Brotherhood is.
Right.
And he's been a member. He knows its satirical nature. He
right.
knows the nature and the effect of the accusation that's been made against him. And this is my question for you. Does he also know that there's absolutely no way to explain this in a media context?
It on his website. It just hasn't made it into popular media. In other words, it hasn't cracked the New York Times, the Washington Post, and above all, CNN just went crazy with this thing. And that was where, people just, the whole idea of sitting there with a straight face and talking about, just picture this, you're watching CNN, and instead of this straight-faced anchor talking about a secret society, it mocks the Bible. And then you put up on the screen a bunch of guys wearing wigs with big funny noses and glasses holding these crazy signs, including one guy who appears to have no clothes whatsoever on except this large sign that he's holding over his midriff, standing in front of Judge Baylor. If you put that on screen, the whole thing just goes up in smoke, right? I mean, everybody's going to crack up laughing because they're going to look at that and see what it is.
Okay,
which is humor.
I guess the question for you here, we've got about a minute and a half, Terry.
Okay.
Is it going to cost Rand Paul the race?
Oh, it appears it's backfiring. And, I mean, people really need to have some fun with this. I mean, when you talk about Nose Brothers, You're talking about, let me just name you some other really threatening nose brothers. George W. Bush is a nose brother. Bill Cosby is Brother Jello Nose. Kinky Friedman, former candidate, is the Yellow Rose of Texas. Billy Graham is Brother Nose Graham. Bob Hope is Brother Ski Nose. Leon Jaworski, the Watergate prosecutor, is Brother Water Nose. Dan Rather is Brother CBS Evening Nose. I mean, do I need to go on with this? Kenneth Starr of the Bill Clinton-era scandals is now the president of Baylor and has just been named Brother Non-Hostis Human Nose Generous. I mean, come on, folks. There's some funny stuff here. Somebody find out what they're doing.
So it really only takes one decent journalist to write one story about the Nose Brotherhood and for the press to actually run with it to set this thing to bed. About 30 seconds here, Terry.
It would have to be a journalist who did it in the same media where the thing got so much play. You'd have to do it on CNN, and you'd have to do it on the Washington Post. Maybe if the Politico did it here in Washington, it would bleed out. Or hopefully, you know, the Daily Caller. Something's got to infect D.C., and it's got to get on CNN.
Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. He writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's a regular guest here on Issues Etc. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
You betcha.
When we come back, we're going to be spending some time talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman. There is a real problem in the Old Testament, and this problem is in two passages that appear to contradict one another directly. One says that God moved King David to take a census of Israel. The other one says that none other than Satan himself moved David to take the same census. We'll try and sort all of that out with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Apparent contradictions in the Bible. Our series continues after this.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. Worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.